Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Rochelle Bond, the mother of two-year-old Bella Bond, returned to the stand today to face cross-examination in the trial of her former boyfriend, Michael McCarthy. He's accused of murdering the toddler. Bond is testifying against McCarthy. It's part of a plea deal she struck with prosecutors. But today, defense attorney Jonathan Shapiro attempted to cast doubt on Bond's testimony, implying that she covered up her own daughter's murder. Shapiro asked Bond if she had lied about Bella's death, for example, in order to continue receiving state welfare benefits.
And you also certified to the people who were providing you with benefits that you had a daughter and she was living with you.
TFDC, yes.
And as a result of that, you continued to receive benefits all summer.
Yes, that's why.
And that was a lie?
Yes.
Well, joining us now with more is Susan Zelkind. She's an executive reporter, investigative reporter covering the trial for the Daily Beast. And she joins us now. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So, Susan, first of all, what was the atmosphere in the courtroom today as Rochelle Bond gave her testimony?
I think everybody in this courtroom is fairly drained. This is one of the most horrific murder trials that I've ever heard in my life. I think that happens when there's a two-year-old girl who's been murdered, but there's also heroin. We're seeing the darkest part of the opioid epidemic, talk of demons and conspiracy theories. It was a tense, emotional day today, as it has been.
Well, Rochelle Bond, as we mentioned, is testifying against Michael McCarthy as part of a plea deal she struck with prosecutors. But it seems as if defense attorneys spent a long time today, you know, trying to cast doubt on the testimony that Bond offered. What happened?
Well, Bond's story is that Michael McCarthy murdered her daughter and then took her daughter and her, knocking her out by hitting her in the head and then dumping the child into the ocean by way of South Boston. Now, her problem is she doesn't remember the exact date that happened. And the story is, how could you not remember the day that your daughter died? And her story is that she was so high on heroin that all the days after that just seemed to swarm together. And that she's changed her story. We found out that she, and this was actually from the prosecution. I think the prosecutor in the opening arguments tried to step in front of the undercutting that the defense is about to do by having her say that, you know, at first when she spoke to police, she said that the child was in the trunk of the car when actually it was in the back seat. At first she said it was in May. Actually, the child died in June. And her excuse for that is that she was so high on heroin, and then when she spoke to police was withdrawing from heroin, that she got a lot of her information confused.
Huh, interesting. Well, I mean, to that point, it was under questioning from Suffolk Assistant DA David Deacon that Bond said that she had considered going to authorities after the murder of her daughter, but didn't. So let's listen to that.
I looked up the FBI on my phone.
And why the FBI?
Because this is a big deal. I just thought that was the appropriate.
Did you go to the FBI?
I didn't end up going, no.
What did Rochelle Bond say about why she didn't go to the authorities after her daughter had been killed?
Well, we begin to hear her story of how she felt trapped by Michael McCarthy. She says after he killed her daughter, he followed her everywhere, and I mean everywhere, into the bathroom, into the shower. And we heard a little bit from the messages that they shared back and forth of ways that McCarthy could have been potentially abusive, swearing at her constantly. And then she says she didn't go to the authorities at first because she was scared, and then as the days went on, she was scared that nobody would believe her, that she would be pinned for the crime, and all that McCarthy had at her home were his bottles of prescription pills with his name on it, and then he could take those and then just disappear, and she would be pegged with her daughter's murder.
Well, I mean, but even though she struck this plea deal with prosecutors, isn't that kind of what the defense is trying to do under with their cross-examination of her? I mean, didn't Jonathan Shapiro today, correct me if I'm wrong, basically come out and say that, you know, she's as much to bear the guilt for Bella's death as anybody?
Oh, totally. I mean, there's two stories that you hear here. One is that Michael McCarthy went to the hospital. Up until then, he'd been totally controlling and manipulating Rochelle Bond. And once he went to the hospital, she was free. She ran away, didn't pay his parking meter, and wasn't coming back. And so finally, she's escaped. The other story that you hear at this time is that Bella Bond's dad starts knocking on her door, asking where his child is, and Jonathan Shapiro says, this is when you realize the gig was up. You had to do something. You'd been lying all summer to everybody you knew, including under oath and in court, that your daughter was elsewhere or your daughter was with you making up different stories. And now that Bella Bond's dad wanted to see his kid, you knew you couldn't lie anymore. Jonathan Shapiro is talking now about how previously, though Bella Bond's dad had never met his daughter, that he had called the Department of Children and Families on her twice before with various concerns about how she was taking care of their child, and that she was worried that he would do that again and she would be found out.
Mm. And Susan, one more question, because you mentioned drug use, again, being a major theme in this trial. What more did we discover or learn today about Rochelle Bond's own use of heroin? Because, I mean, in the immediate aftermath of the public discovering who Bella Bond was, there were all these stories about Rochelle Bond saying she was forcibly injected with heroin by Michael McCarthy, et cetera. Did that whole story hold up in court today?
We heard that before the trial, that she was forcibly injected. Now we're hearing that after Michael McCarthy killed her daughter, she welcomed him injecting her with heroin because she wanted to numb the pain, essentially. We heard about them doing between 2 to 4 ounces of heroin a day, injecting themselves between 4 and 7 times. I think heroin and opioid addiction is a part of every single step in this case. You hear about people being sick, needing drugs, looking for drugs. That's how the different characters in the story meet, is in their quest for drugs. This is very much a story about the opioid epidemic.
What an awful tragedy on all fronts. Well, Susan Zelkind, investigative reporter covering the trial of the murder of Bella Bond. She's doing that for the Daily Beast. Susan, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.